children.
It's all for you!
We have such sights to show you.
Anyway.
Is it time?
Let's.
Wow, that was the most weary way we've gone back in. The James Bond analogy.
I mean, the time to do nothing thing really is just like where we're at. Yeah. Life, right?
Well, we never record on the weekends.
No. So. And it's been a while since it's been just us.
Yeah. But I mean, a weekend, just us, no booze, just coffee and water. That's how we're going to do 150.
Oh, no! Oh, but it's a good one.
Yeah, no, this is a great one. This is actually very, very ideal, I think, 150. Obviously we're going to talk about it, but I was very pleasantly surprised by this one.
So. Okay, let's dive right in. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible Peoples Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, is Anthony Fuentes.
Here for the calmest milestone we've probably ever had.
The calmest. Well, you know what? We, once again, much like Halloween, we just, blew our load too early.
We definitely did. Been doing that a lot lately.
Yeah.
And creative output.
Yeah. Of course. But this is episode 150.
Yay!
We made it
to 150. Yeah. Woo!
We celebrated last week. And what an episode it was. Thank you so much, James and Phil, for joining us for that.
Yes.
I listened to the episode immediately after we recorded it because it was so fucking funny.
Oh my gosh, it was fantastic.
Yeah. Like, even Anthony was like, I need you to send that to me right away because I need to edit it.
Yeah. And when I know, the only thing I'm editing out is those goddamn planes, but
yeah.
Otherwise,
we
just
pretty
wouldn't
on it.
Stop.
Yeah, no, we were just on it. So anyway, so for our 150th episode, also November tradition,
yes,
we are covering Evil Dead, the reboot from 2013.
That's right. And I love that this one is like the culmination of two figures that we've been following throughout the podcast, which is Sam Raimi and Fede Alvarez.
Yes.
It's actually pretty opportune for a 150th episode.
It's a good 150th episode because we can't count.
That's right. And just so you know, guys, we're going to have our NPR voice today because it is morning.
Welcome, everyone.
So Sam Raimi. No.
Yeah, I'm drinking tea, so expect pretentiousness.
Yeah, but we are going to get turnt later.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're going to get fucked up later, but we're not recording that.
No, we're not bringing the mic with us. That'd be too... Oh, we could bring the mic with us. No.
Why would we do that?
There's going to be a bunch of people. It'd be fun. Patreon shit, I don't know.
I'm sure Phil will have something that we'll be able to record.
Oh, that's true. He's crazy. Oh, we are going to be partying with our frequent guests, too, so...
Yeah.
Expect some Instagram picture, I'm sure.
I'm sure there'll be something chaotic and wonderful. Anyway, so let's just dive right into Evil Dead 2013, shall we?
That's a fantastic NPR voice right there. Let's just dive right into Evil Dead 2013. Phenomenal film from the
era. I also did a little bit of waking and baking.
Oh, okay. I have just had a good night. Yeah, watched the Wes Anderson movie.
I drank a bunch of tequila last night. I woke up and immediately was just like, well, this is the morning we're going to have.
Don't want this headache.
So, IMDb says, quote, five friends head to a remote cabin where the discovery of a book of the dead leads them to unwittingly summon up demons living in the nearby woods, unquote.
Man, it wouldn't be a 150th episode without the typical IMDb run-on sentence.
No,
that is fantastic.
No.
That's up there. Yes.
This was directed, of course, by Fede Alvarez, and screenplay by Fede Alvarez, and Rodo Saegas? Based, of course, on The Evil Dead by Sam Raimi, and produced by Robert Capert, Sam Raimi, and the man himself, Bruce Campbell.
Damn. That's the crew right there.
Yeah, you're gonna get right into it.
Hey,
this is of course starring Jane Levy, Shiloh Fernandez, Lou Taylor Pucci, Jessica Lucas.
I'm glad you pronounce it Pucci. Those two C's can go anywhere.
And Elizabeth Blackmore. It released on March 8th, 2013 at South by Southwest, and had its wide release in the United States on April 5th, 2013. It had a budget of $17 million.
That's impressive, okay.
Especially compared to its original, or to its predecessors. And it had a box office earnings of $97.5 million.
We're going to talk about, of course. Oh my god, no, I got to wake up. I can't have this IMDb sleepy voice.
Wake the fuck up.
I got to come back. Okay, so I had so much coffee. No, I can't. It's too early. I got to run errands after this. Be drunk at Best Buy. Hey, you guys never have the shit that I want.
You guys ever heard about the Faces of Death?
Where's the Blu-ray? Sir.
Sir, please leave. You're scaring the children.
This is a Target, sir. And we do have it.
All right. Back.
No, we get it. I'm going to read the title just to get me back, because the boys are back in town with an R in there. That was pretty good.
Thank you.
So you might have noticed that producers up top, Sam Raimi, Campbell, and of course Robert G. Tappert, all of whom were the original producers of the OG Evil Dead trilogy. And of course, Tappert decided he wanted to get the band back together.
Hell yeah.
Oh my gosh. So when producer Robert Tappert suggested the possibility of an Evil Dead remake to, of course, Raimi and Campbell, Raimi responded the most favorably, whereas Campbell was the least enthusiastic of the trio.
Which I was expecting not that.
I was expecting the opposite, actually. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of weird, but yeah. Cause, I mean, I don't know these guys personally. Who the fuck? So, Raimi's like, money! Bruce is like, our legacy! Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Bruce Campbell has always just kind of seemed like Evil Dead is just like his love letter to the genre.
Yeah,
that makes sense. He seems very passionate about it. So he might have just been from a place of being protective.
I would admit a little gatekeeping, too. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. And Raimi's just like, listen, like, money. I have Spider-Man money. I want more of that type of money. So Raimi thought that The Evil Dead of 1981 was exactly the sort of film that could be successfully updated and reimagined by a group of new generation filmmakers.
Filmmakers? What does that mean?
Make the film that goes over the plastic. I can't think of anything.
Sorry, we can't. We're going to insult an entire country later, so we got to keep it to
fun.
A minimum.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay. You know, I enjoy doing that.
The overgeneralization. I wrote it specifically for you with you in mind.
Yay. So while Campbell was not happy to pass on his iconic role of Ash, of course, he relented when he heard that the film would feature a new set of characters and the role of Ash would just not be recast overall, which, good move. Good move.
Absolutely.
Yeah. As a quick side note, back when the remake of the original film was in development in good old 2003, 10 years before release, goddamn, Ashton Kutcher and Marlon Wayans were considered for the role of Ash Williams. Oh, Marlon Wayans would have been interesting.
Imagine.
Fuck, Ashton Kutcher actually would have been pretty good too. Now that I think about it,
I think I was stuck on the Marlon Wayans.
Yeah, Marlon Wayans would have been like a new take, and Ashton Kutcher would have been like the right kind of doofus, but I don't know, but enough of a badass.
Yeah,
like Campbell kind of has both.
Yeah, totally.
Raimi and Campbell had planned a remake for many years, but in 2009, Campbell stated that the proposed remake was "quote unquote going nowhere," and of course had fizzled due to extremely negative fan reaction. And,
of course, I mean, if they wanted to recast Ash, like I feel like people would have just been pissed.
Yeah, it's honestly too iconic of a mm-hmm. role. It really is. But of course, sure, the Evil Dead had producers. Now they needed someone to direct this bitch. Yeah. Director Fede Alvarez got the job of writing and directing the remake on the strength of his 5-minute short Panic Attack, released in 2009, which had become a YouTube hit via word of mouth. And 2009 YouTube was obviously a very different era.
It was the wild, wild west of YouTube.
It was like super wild, wild west. So the fact that it became that big of a hit, that's pretty good.
God, it was like copyright. Like there was no copyright real infringement shit
yet.
The
enforcement really wasn't there. So people were kind of going a little crazy.
Well, it was also like, I mean, around the, oh God, yeah. Ugh, yeah. Wild Wild West of YouTube.
Oh, great time. But of course, Alvarez pitched the film as the audience watching something they are not supposed to watch. So, Fede and, of course, Rodo Saguyas. Saguyas?
Dude, I don't know.
Saguyas, no. Saguyas co-wrote the script, which was then doctored by, Diablo Cody.
Yeah.
All right.
He's learning right along with you guys.
I love it.
I know all this. I wrote it.
In an effort, of course, to Americanize the dialogue, since English was not the writer's first language. Very interesting.
Which, thank God.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, much of the production was kept hush-hush. But in April 2011, Bruce Campbell stated in an AMA on Reddit, which, again, 2011 is the Wild Wild West of fucking Reddit, too. Quote, "We're remaking The Evil Dead. The script is awesome. The remake's going to kick some ass. You have my word," unquote. And of course, the film was officially announced that July. I do remember this AMA.
I was gonna ask, which, by the way, in the text that I was referencing for this, the official wording was just like, in the website reddit.com's ask me anything thread. Like, it was very, like, professionally worded. I'm like, it's an AMA. It's fine. We know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's at this point, it's become iconic, but, like, I do remember this being, like, people were bitching about it, really, for the longest time. Because they're like...
The Evil Dead remake or AMAs? Yeah,
no, the Evil Dead remake. They're like, how are they going to fuck her? It's probably just for the money and other... Yeah, yeah, it was a lot of negativity, for sure. But, of course, during pre-production and during every meeting, they always planned for, of course, an R rating. Please note, Alex had to change the original quote from hard R, which, again... Can't keep saying that one.
Stop saying hard R. Like, that's just not... It's not what you think it means.
It meant something different back in the day, I think. But yeah, it had a filmic connotation to it.
Of course. But now, if someone is
culture
talking
has up, changed.
It's changed. Culture has changed. Just stop saying it. Mm-hmm. Just stop saying it. Just say whatever.
A stiff R. There you go.
An erect R.
Oh boy, the studio.
I'm not even drunk. I'm just in a good mood today.
I know. I feel pretty nice. This is good. This is such a pleasant morning.
It's been good, yeah.
It's all like sunny outside, but like foggy and misty. It's
it was
really
foggy
good.
As hell this morning. I was freezing when I woke up.
Oh, it's a great feeling. But of course, the studio never said to pull back until the MPAA slapped the film with the kiss of death. You know what this kiss is. It's the NC-17 rating, but, you know, that's for later. Next, they had to cast this thing, and of course, actor Shiloh Fernandez was cast in the lead male role of David. So, Gillian Jacobs auditioned for the role of Mia, but lost to Lily Collins. Oh, she would have been interesting. She was in Community at this time. Collins later dropped out and was replaced by Jane Levy in, of course, January 2012. Oh. Whole different time. Of course, with Jane Levy replacing her in the next month. Man, I'm trying to think of, like, my life in this era. It's like, oh, wow, this is all going on.
And this is all going on. I'm, like, finishing high school.
I'm, like, in college. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Lou Taylor Pucci. I almost messed that one up. Elizabeth Blackmore and Jessica Lucas later, of course, joined the cast. And in November 2018, Alvarez confirmed the film's relationship to the original. Quote, "It continues the first one. The coincidences on events between the first film and mine are not coincidences, but more like dark fate created by the evil book." Ash's car is still there resting away, by the way.
Did you notice that?
I didn't notice that.
I did. I didn't the first time. The second time I was like, oh, it's there. It's there. So,
oh, that's cool. Okay.
Yeah, it was a nice little, yeah. So now they had to actually make this freaking movie.
Oh, those are always fun stories with Evil Dead.
Yeah, well, so Evil Dead was shot in New Zealand over a period of a month. The rest of the filming was done in the United States. It ended up being shot over 3 months. They started in April and they went until July. Some fun spring shooting. So 95% of the movie was actually shot in order, which I thought was interesting.
That's so cool. Yeah, I love when they do that.
They did this because a lot of the film takes place in a controlled environment and the level of blood and violence gets worse and worse as the film progresses.
That is true.
By shooting in order, they can throw blood on the walls and not worry it'll mess up another shot where it needs to be clean. Because, you know, the Evil Dead franchise cares about continuity.
They do. They really don't.
In the opening scene, the petrol, I wanted to share this little tidbit, that the Harold, the guy, pours over his daughter, is actually apple juice.
Oh, fun.
It's a good look. So this also I thought was interesting. So although he has a background in CGI, Fede Alvarez chose to go with practical effects for the film's visuals, mainly as a way to tribute what Sam Raimi achieved on a very limited budget, of course, back in the 80s for Evil Dead.
Oh, that's nice of him. Plus, it's a good-looking movie.
Yes. So he confirmed in an interview that the film did not employ CGI except for touch-ups, saying, quote, "We didn't do any CGI in the movie. Everything that you will see is real," which was really demanding. This was a very long shoot, 70 days of shooting at night. There was a reason people use CGI. It's cheaper and faster. I hate that. We researched a lot of magic tricks and illusion tricks," unquote.
That's cool, though. Because, I mean, it is daunting, like, to do, like, night shoots are shit. But,
sure.
Yeah, like, it looks good.
Yeah,
you definitely really see it.
So, according to reports in the press, the film used 70,000 gallons of fake blood. In an interview, Fede Alvarez said they used 50 gallons for the final scene alone. This is, of course, compared to the 200 to 300 gallons used in the original.
Oh, man. The difference $17 million makes.
I mean, sure, they had to up the ante. They're like, we need more fake blood. More fake blood. More fake blood.
I'm seeing clothes dry there.
Saturated. Fake blood. I mean, to be fair, that final scene... where she, it's like raining blood.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I mean, like they're like, they just...
they just put the hose on.
Yeah, exactly. In addition to many other nods to the original film, the remake also has several audio clips taken directly from the original film.
Ooh, there's some good stuff in there.
Yeah.
Like that.
One of the more noticeable instances of this is when Mia is first possessed, right after the door is thrown open by the force outside of the cabin.
I love it because it's consistent between all the entries, and of course you even see it in Ash vs. the Evil Dead, so it's like, it just...
It's like almost like a lore thing.
It really is. You have to have it.
Yeah.
You gotta have it.
Additionally, the lines, "You will die like the others before you, one by one we will take you," can be heard in the background as Mia screams. This is taken directly from the original film when Ellen Sandweiss's character Cheryl was possessed. I thought this was cool as fuck. In addition, when the main characters first arrived at the cabin, a low demonic voice moaning, "Join us," can be heard in the background. This is another audio clip taken from the original film.
Man, there's a lot of passion that went into this. You can tell.
I think, again, I say this a lot, but you can tell when certain films are love letters to the genre. Like, when someone actually has, like, a passion for horror.
Yeah.
You might not like all of Fede Alvarez's films, but you can... I mean, he's a fan, you know, of the genre.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect that.
And I do like all of his films.
Have you seen...
Don't Breathe.
Two. Huh? Have you seen the second
one? Oh, I haven't seen the second one.
I've heard very mixed reviews.
Oh,
and I know
really?
I was really hyped about seeing it. I just am busy as shit, so I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
It's like, when it streams somewhere, I'm sure I'll watch it. Or we can cover it. I mean, we did cover the first one.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, we can do it.
This is our podcast. We can do whatever we want.
We can do whatever we want, fucking guys. If you want to hear it, let us know.
Definitely.
But on this note, before we move on to the next point, you can definitely see a movie as a love letter to the original. One movie I had always discarded, because I was like in my cinematic edgelord phase.
this very specific phase.
Yeah, this phase right before college when I actually saw edgelords. So I'm like, oh, I'm not you guys.
I don't want to be you.
Had my penis touched before. I can't. Not in the same ballpark.
We're
here.
Totally different.
Yeah. You guys need to put that energy somewhere.
Focus it.
Yeah. But I always looked down at the 2009 reboot of Friday the 13th. I watched it again for Halloween. That movie is fucking awesome.
The 2009 one?
The 2009 remake?
See, I actually wrote a paper about it in college, comparing it to the original.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that's interesting. I can't wait till we get to it then, because that one, my opinion,
I wrote an academic paper about it, so, okay, yeah.
So, I mean, obviously there's a different nostalgia kind of attachment to it, but mine, I saw it a couple times, discarded it, because I'm like, it's just like...
remake.
But man, I watched it again, I'm like, oh, these people are fans. Like, they are fans. Like, you can see it in, like, a lot of the way the movie plays out.
I think there's a lot of people who love to hate remakes.
Yes, I was one of those people for sure.
To be fair, people have been hurt before. Like,
we've
been hurt before by remakes, so I get it. I understand that appeal and that want to, like, keep something that you have such a strong nostalgic attachment to keep that safe and not want it to be touched and fucked with.
Mm-hmm.
just the other day, The Lost Boys is being remade.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of gatekeeping going on with that one, too.
And I mean, I'm not going to lie. I feel very similarly. I had the same reaction where I was just like, shit.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would necessarily...
Don't do it.
Does it need a remake? Mm-hmm. You know? And I think that's where a lot of people are coming from in the... You know, it can look good. It can be done by people who actually appreciate the genre.
Yeah,
that's
but what great. Are you going to add?
Is there any, yeah, or is it necessary? Like, is there, yeah. you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's where a lot of people have that issue, I think.
I think it's when a movie feels timeless. Like, a lot of movies.
Yeah.
But then again, Evil Dead, I thought that with it as well. And it, honestly, when you remake it, actually, with fan passion behind it, you can absolutely see it.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I think it's that line of it being done well and adding something to the
yeah.
lore.
Yeah, and you can tell a fan doing it because they do it intelligently. They do it in mm-hmm. a way that it's something they want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And by proxy, other fans realize, oh shit, this is actually something I wanted to see.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's our NPR talk again right there, a little breakdown. Let's get back to the original tale.
Yeah, so as we previously mentioned, the film was originally rated NC-17 until it was toned down to an R rating. According to Alvarez, he and Sam Raimi were always willing to keep the NC-17 rating since the original film has it. However, in order to be released, the studio required it to have an R rating in order to have a wide release.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that makes sense, though. 17 million, it's not like Sam Raimi's movie where it's like,
no,
they
it's not...
shat the fucking budget out.
Yeah, where they were like crowdfunding.
Yeah,
like...
suitcases and shit.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we're going to take a break for like 6 weeks and we'll come back with more money.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, of course, Evil Dead premiered at the South by South Film Festival in good old Austin, Texas. South by Southwest Film Festival. South by South, day by day.
I was like, what?
It is morning.
It is the afternoon.
Oh, fuck. It is the afternoon. What? I don't know. It's just, it's going to be a day. I can tell. Oh.
It's going to be a long night.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Oh, man.
I can't wait for the booze, though.
It's going to
be I brought some good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have some IPAs later.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyway, so... TriStar Pictures released the film theatrically on April 5th, 2013 in the United States, with Sony Pictures handling, of course, all the other markets that want to see the blood go down. So this is the first and only film in the Evil Dead franchise to be over 90 minutes, but it's like a hair over. It's like not, it's barely.
It's like an hour and 33 minutes.
It's like, exactly, yeah, 93 minutes. You're right. It's like a smidge.
It's a touch, mm-hmm. but it is. Over 90 minutes.
That's true. It is.
Which is also, I think, almost like a selling point for the Evil Dead franchise. I'm like, if you want some quick and dirty, like, horror,
oh, yeah.
like, classics, Evil Dead franchise.
Because it doesn't let up. It's really
They have 90 minutes. They got to utilize every fucking minute they got.
They really do. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Of course, the film was banned in the Ukraine for its extreme violence.
I mean, would it be an Evil Dead movie if it wasn't banned somewhere?
It's just, you know, I feel like you got to play, like, a... Do little bingo card with different countries. And you're like, oh shit, okay, now we can't do the Netherlands.
We got Ukraine.
So, of course, during an interview in April 2013, director Fede Alvarez stated that there would be an extended version at some point. The extended cut was aired on British television for one day in January 2015 before being pulled from TV stations. Oh man, must have been brutal. Of course, in 2015, Channel
Here's
4...
Here's the story of it.
Okay, premiered... The movie on terrestrial TV.
I don't know British television.
That sounds weird. Channel 4 showed the extended cut running an extra 4 minutes and 10 seconds. It is not known where this cut came from, but it is assumed that Studio Canal provided the alternative print in error to Channel 4. It was promptly pulled from British television after the sounds of teacups shattering was heard all across the country in unison. Yeah.
Yes.
And because they only live one time. So, yeah.
And they only have the one TV channel.
They do. Mm-hmm. That's how
so
the UK works.
There's, that's our segment where we insult an entire country.
There you go. Let's see.
I mean, I can't say
crumpets
shit.
On the ground.
I can't say shit. I am currently drinking tea. So, and it is English breakfast. So get fucked.
Well, I never. So, no one has confirmed whether this was an intentional debut for the anticipated extended cut, which fans of the film have asked about since, of course, the theatrical release, or whether Studio Canal UK had inadvertently supplied Channel 4 with the wrong copy of the film. Alvarez eventually confirmed on Twitter that the version aired was actually not the extended cut. So Channel 4 subsequently confirmed that the wrong copy of the film was supplied to them, and they had to send that bitch back. A lot of little bureaucratic nonsense.
Like, it was just like someone attached the wrong clip to an email or something. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't, like, I love bureaucratic snafus, right? Like this, where it's just like, hey, you guys all saw the wrong version.
Did you send the Evil Dead final copy from your drive or from the company drive? Oh, it was from my drive. We made one more edit after that, you jackass. So, we've all been there.
Listen, anyone who's worked in, like, marketing, agency work, any, like, a wrong file
has been sent.
I get it.
Mm-hmm. So, meanwhile, remember that NC-17 turned R here in the U.S.? Well, in Britain, we had problems. The film had been rated uncut as an 18 by the BBFC for containing, of course, strong blood violence, gory horror, and very strong language. That sounds so British already.
Well, I'm also, like, so the MPAA version, BBFC.
The BBFC. That sounds, but, like, bloody violence, gory horror, and very strong language.
And very strong.
Very strong language.
Very strong.
Miss Doubtfire fucking.
Very strong.
Cuts were made, and Studio Canal subsequently handled the release, of course, of Evil Dead in the good old UK. Now, the film grossed $25.8 million in its opening weekend, finishing first at the box office. It went on to gross $54.2 million domestically and $43.3 million internationally for a worldwide banger of a total here, $97.5 million.
Hell yeah.
Against its $17 million, making it a pretty big box office success, I would say, actually. So, not bad. Of course, we got Rotten Tomatoes to go ahead and parlay here with those good old ratings. So that is it's a 63% based on 201 reviews. That's a lot of reviews.
Yee.
With an average rating, of course, of 6.16 out of 10. So the consensus for this bad boy states it may lack the absurd humor that underlined the original, but the new look Evil Dead compensates with brutal terror, gory scares, and gleefully bloody violence. I agree. It compensates very well for the lacking humor.
It could have been funnier, but it's fine.
Yeah. Evan Dixon from... Dixon!
Dixon, get over here!
Dixon, why's your review of Evil Dead? Stop digging around!
Dixon!
Oh my god, this guy's great. From Bloody Disgusting, reviewed the film at South by Southwest and went on to say, quote, unquote, Evil Dead is amazingly gory and fun. And of course, he gave the film 4 out of 5 stars. So Chris Tilly of IGN gave Evil Dead 9 out of 10. I think I remember this review too, and called the movie "quote unquote" a terrifying, exhilarating, and relentlessly entertaining new chapter in the Evil Dead story. And that's back when IGN reviews actually had some merit.
2013.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, they were hot shit back then.
You know, my timelines are so messed up. I was like, IGN was relevant.
Yeah, IGN, AV time. Club, yeah, all that. Yep. Mm-hmm. Although I gotta say, IGN, their social media people are really good.
Mm.
They get me clicking. They know. Mm. They know the right.
They
stories.
They know what to say.
They know exactly what to say. Not everyone was so blown away. Richard Roper rated the film 1 star out of 4. Damn. Criticizing the film's unoriginality, the character's lack of intelligence, and the film's reliance on gore for what he felt were cheap scares. He concluded his review by saying, quote, I love horror films that truly shock, scare, and provoke. But after 30 years of this stuff, I'm bored to death and sick to death of movies that seem to have one goal. How can we gross out the audience by torturing nearly every major character in the movie? Question mark. My name is Richard Roper. This is a serious question. Unquote. No, that wasn't part
no,
of it.
No. Shut up, Richard.
I mean, I liked him in At the Movies with Roger Ebert, but I did not agree with him nearly as much as I agreed with our boy.
No.
Fortunately, our boy was gone by this point in time.
No, yeah.
Yeah. By a year, actually. So, ugh, poor bastard. Anyways, rest in peace. Letterboxd time, baby. Let's do it. On Letterboxd, Evil Dead has a 3.3 average rating out of course 83,000 reviews. This is a filmmaker's favorite right here. All right. So, in a long-ass review, Dirk H., who we've used before.
That's why I wanted to use this review. It's quite good.
Yeah, with 1.5 stars, says, let's do it. Let's talk Home Improvement for a minute here. To be more specific, Home Improvement Television. Ever watch one of those shows? Well, there's always one episode where some city-dwelling couple wants to go rural and buy a farm. They often have too much money and end up buying a gorgeous historical building. But they are used to all the modern commodities and luxuries, which unfortunately isn't present there. They then proceed to gut the building, remodel it, and refit it so it will suit their needs, and in the end will look like a house everyone else has. With, of course, the occasional exposed beam here or there, because hey, it's a period property, don't you know? And we should never forget that. This film is that episode. This isn't a remake. It's a generalization. It takes an iconic horror film and turns into a cheap knockoff like so many others that very same horror film has spawned. It lacks originality, energy, appeal, and creativity. It is gory beige.
Okay. Scathing.
Gory beige, I gotta say, he really capped that. That's a good way to summarize it.
Kind of why I included it. Like, I feel like just like the tale that was told in that review,
you gotta
and
build
then
to
capping
it
off with "it's gory beige." I was like, shit.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I mean, I don't agree with any of that, but like that's a good.
I don't agree, but I can see how someone could come to that conclusion.
I can see it too. Yeah, it definitely makes sense. He did a lot better than Richard Roper.
If Richard Roper had said that, then I would be like, okay, fine.
Yeah,
you have a point.
I get you. Not like.
I'm an old man and I have opinions.
Roger! Help me, Roger. I can't articulate thoughts anymore.
He's like, he has a little shine to Roger. Oh my God. Being like, help me.
Help me criticize this film. I don't know how to feel.
I don't know.
The Obi-Wan ghost of Roger Ebert comes in.
He's wearing like
a little robe.
A little robe.
Just... Use your thumb. Is it a thumbs up or a thumbs down? Only you can tell. They remade The Evil Dead, though. Oh, shit.
I will be with you.
Always.
You just fade into nothing.
You just fade. Oh, now he's Mufasa. He's Mufasa Roger Ebert. Who's the fucking guy? Whoever works at like the LA Times is fucking Rafiki. Just like, he's alive? He's alive!
He's alive! Jesus Christ.
He fucking puts a little thing over his forehead, just with his thumb, just... Like, what is...
Simba.
Ropa. Ropa. I was like, what is this? It's ink from a typewriter, you're fine. Oh, that was our little off-the-cuff scenario, though. That was great.
Every episode has where we just go full, just like one brain cell.
Yeah, inspired by gory beige. Anyways, user Aaliyah, which I'm sure there's many Aaliyahs, but we've used.
Mm-hmm. I think it might be the same one, honestly.
Probably. With 4.5 stars, said, quote unquote, my version of film criticism is nodding in satisfaction upon seeing a final girl covered in blood. Okay. Unquote. There you go. Quinny, with 3.5 stars, says, I wish a pretty girl would spit in my mouth like that sad face. Oh. Oh, buddy. They're out there.
They're out there. It's out there. There's an app for that, I promise.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Spit swipe.
Thanks.
And finally, Sven Roth. Oh, Sven, we've used him before too. With 3.5 stars, says, exactly the right movie if you're in the mood for some rain and blood. And that's right, it totally is.
Totally.
Totally is.
So, there we go.
Letterboxd, baby. Yay.
Yay. No, there were some very fun reviews. It was hard to pick like the cream of the crop.
I mean, 83,000 reviews. That's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot to work with.
So, at the South by Southwest premiere... there's more to the story, guys.
Oh my God.
We're not doing a plot review.
No. There's other shit.
Anthony is just like, wait, what?
I'm like, wait a second. What's going on here?
Yeah. Hold on to your butts.
Roper!
No, at the South by Southwest premiere, Alvarez announced that a sequel was in the works. We're going to talk about this sequel because it goes all the way up to 2020. So we got some shit to talk about.
Damn.
In addition, Sam Raimi confirmed plans to write Evil Dead 4 with his brother. It was later specified that this film would actually be a sequel to Army of Darkness called Army of Darkness 2.
I do remember these announcements.
At WonderCon, at a panel in March of 2013, Campbell and Alvarez stated stated that their ultimate plan was for Alvarez's Evil Dead 2 and Raimi's Army of Darkness 2 to be followed by a seventh film which would merge the narratives of Ash and Mia.
I remember this too. However, lots of hype.
On October 30th, 2013, co-writer Saigas confirmed to Dead Hollywood that he and Alvarez would not return for the sequel.
No!
That same month, Alvarez took to his Twitter, where all rumors go to die, to say that the rumor was just not true.
Oh. Boo.
Well, that's good.
So he would actually come back. Yeah. Okay, never mind.
We're happy about that.
Okay, good, yes. I thought that I know. All the other shit before
I'm,
was
I'm going
to
go Charlie Day with some string here.
Let's
follow
do it.
Along.
Let's follow the path.
So, in November of 2018, Alvarez announced that, quote, "They're just ideas right now. Nothing to announce officially. We do have a script for Don't Breathe 2. That's the only difference. We don't have a script for Evil Dead 2, but we do have a script for Don't Breathe 2 that we wrote," unquote. He also said that, quote, "When I tweeted that I was interested in seeing what people prefer, we were having some internal debates about what people would be interested in most. Unfortunately, Evil Dead 2 won," which I guess I would have prefer Don't Breathe 2 to win because it's one of my own creations. Obviously, Evil Dead has the bigger following,
and
unquote.
He made such a good movie. So, yeah, I mean, no, people are just like, we need more of this.
Yeah, I also just think it's hard to compete with something that's been around for as long as
yeah.
it you know?
And, like, something pretty fundamental in, mm-hmm. like, the history of horror.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. So we've gone over, what, at this point, when did this start? At the South by Southwest premiere, so in 2013, we've yada-yaded quite a bit. We are now in 2019.
Yeah.
So on July 10th, 2019, Raimi discussed the future of the Evil Dead franchise, saying, quote, "We'd like to make another Evil Dead feature, and in fact, we're working on some ideas right now," unquote. Raimi said that he would be interested in making another film with Campbell, although Campbell earlier claimed that he has since retired from the role of Ash.
Yes, that was announced.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Campbell also considered another option, which could be a sequel to the 2013 reboot, but he is unsure if Alvarez would want to make a sequel at this point because the director is a successful artist on demand now.
I mean, Fede is good.
Yeah.
I like him as a director. I really do.
Definitely. So, by October, Raimi announced that at New York Comic Con that a new film was in development. Bruce Campbell would again serve as a producer, but would not be the star of the film due to his retirement again as from the role of Ash Williams. So, and we're back.
All right, more.
In June of 2020, Campbell revealed that Lee Cronin was handpicked by Raimi to write and direct the film, which will be called Evil Dead Rise.
Oh, I like the title. That's actually good.
And that's where we're at so far in this Evil Dead timeline. So next year, 2022, Ash versus Evil Dead.
Yes, we're gonna cover that. It'll have been 5 years of me waiting to talk about Ash versus Evil Dead, but it'll be November tradition.
Yeah,
so.
November. We gotta stick to the schedule.
But it's gonna be good.
So that is Evil Dead 2013.
That's okay. Yeah, yay! We did it. Wow. Yeah. Remember a lot more of this pretty vividly now that you brought it up, because I was there during as it was being announced for a lot of stuff, especially Reddit is where a lot of the news broke. I mean, Reddit and Twitter, obviously, which just go hand in hand.
I would say they're two sides of the same coin.
They definitely are. If one breaks on one, the other's gonna they both have different discussions that just no same discussions in different ways, I would say.
I agree.
Yeah. But I do remember very specifically people being real down on this remake. Like, how are they... Like, it was almost blasphemous.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, again, like we were talking about earlier, I understand the urge to protect your franchise.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and they didn't had anything since Army of Darkness. There was no Ash vs. the Evil Dead to hold them over. Like, it really was. Like, and then he just come off of, like, an era of bland remakes that were already past their prime by that point.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, I don't know if we can go straight into our thoughts of the film here, but pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, let's just dive right into the discussion, which also I do want to point out I did proper headers this time.
Yes, they were good. I liked them.
Normally I'm just like, production, pre-production, discussion, release and reception.
That's what I was like, wait, what am I talking about?
Surprise.
No, these were good. I love the font's good too.
Thank you.
We got to share these.
So one day we will, I'm sure. So yeah, let's just dive right into some discussion, thoughts, I'm kind of curious about your experience with this. Did you see it in theaters? Have you seen...
No theaters.
I mean, you saw it on your big projector screen, though, right?
No, I actually saw this back in college.
Ooh.
When it came out. I wasn't in theaters, but we got it, like, at Redbox.
And, remember Redbox?
Yeah, we got it in fucking Redbox. We're like, oh, whatever, we'll just slap it on. Mm-hmm. And it was... I thought it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was pretty good. I just remember, I don't think I paid attention as much as I should have because I was just a busy ass college mm-hmm. student. I was probably also studying too and doing college shit, texting people on my iPhone 3GS, all the fancy things. So I just remember liking it and also being like, well, okay, but I didn't give it any credence over other, remakes
mm-hmm.
or anything like that. I remember just thinking it's not shit. So I was pretty happy about that. And honestly, I hadn't seen it since then. So this was
like a new experience for you.
Yeah, 8 years. It's been 8 years since I've seen it.
Wow.
And I fucking loved it.
Yay!
This is how you remake a movie.
Yeah.
Like, this is exactly how you fucking do it. You don't bastardize previous characters. Mm-hmm. You don't do that. You up the special effects and the look. You put some good filmmaking behind it, which this is made incredibly well.
I agree.
Like, it looks amazing.
I feel like the cinematography, there are so many nods.
Yes.
I mean, there's so many parts of this movie where it just felt like not only like a love letter to the genre, but a love letter to the original trilogy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And using the sound cues and some of the camera work, mm-hmm. like you said right there, like but not in a barrage of it.
Or
they don't hit
like
you over the head with that shit.
The classic, the trapdoor to the basement where like where Mia's doing the creepy, like her head sticking out and she's doing the finger tappy thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like that gif that everyone uses.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking
yes.
about, right? I'm doing the motions. This is not a visual
I got
medium.
You, I got you.
But like even that, like recreating that from the first movie, like mm-hmm. all those like little tiny tidbits where it's like if you're a fan of the franchise, like you pick up on those things. Or
yes.
Or Ash's car still being there,
mm-hmm.
the sound bites that they took from the first movie,
oh, such good.
Like it's all those like things that I feel like not only are little tidbits that really add to it especially for longtime fans of the franchise, but also if someone isn't a super diehard fan,
mm-hmm.
adds to a cohesive lore.
Yeah, that's you're right going into my point there. Yes. Well, I'll say, like, despite, even if you're not a fan, and you don't, those callbacks mean nothing to you,
yeah.
It's still really effective. And well, if you choose to branch off a little mm-hmm. more, you're going to find something, like, holy crap, that's from there.
Well, so for me, Army of Darkness is one of my all-time favorite horror movies.
Yeah,
like, I love it.
Great.
It's one of my all-time favorites. Which means I've seen the first one, I really enjoy the first one, like,
mm-hmm.
I really like the franchise. I love the characters. I like the lore.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't seen it enough times to like be like, oh, they pulled a soundbite.
Yeah.
It was more like, oh, I know that's what Deadites sound like.
Yeah.
So it added more to the lore.
Yeah.
You know, and made it feel like, oh, this is definitely taking place in the universe.
It definitely feels like a part of it. And even having also seen Ash vs. the Evil Dead, at
mm-hmm.
least the first two seasons, and part of the third one.
First episode.
Oh,
I'll watch it eventually.
We got a year. But the look and style
mm-hmm.
translates even to that. So The Evil Dead has a consistency to it that not a lot of... I mean, continuity, it's kind of shit. But like in terms of consistent look and feel of the franchise and of the Deadites and all, it does it really, really well. And this movie's a very good example of that. Like I just enjoy it. And I, you know, the characters were and I didn't want them all to die. They were
mm-hmm.
not terrible. I mean, some of them were terrible, but like they weren't like bland. Like,
no, they weren't bland, but they were annoying.
Yeah, yeah.
All of them annoyed me. Except for Mia, but she lives. So.
Yeah. The guy with the long hair annoyed me. I forget. The guy with the glasses.
Yeah, the nurse also who thought she knew better than everyone annoyed me.
Yeah, she's... You know what? Thanks for bringing it up. They are pretty annoying, but they're not annoying in a way where I'm like, ugh, every time you're on screen,
you
suck. You
know who is bland? The girlfriend.
Yeah.
The, like, who has, like, two lines in this entire movie,
mm-hmm.
and she, like, immediately is just like, everyone should listen to me.
Yeah, no, I don't know. It's weird, because you're right, the characters definitely fit, like, a trope. They are annoying in ways, but they're also... Maybe my experience with remakes is they're usually absurdly over-the-head fucking annoying, and
mm-hmm.
these ones, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
If you live, you live. If you don't, and you die brutally, you know what? Also fun.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was saying about the girlfriend, even though she was annoying. She is one of, like, my favorite deaths.
Which one was her death? I can't remember.
The electric knife.
Yeah.
When she cuts off her own arm with the electric knife, and it's, like, incredibly meaty and gruesome. I don't have a kill of the film question. I'm going to add that really quick.
And then there was the tree.
Yes!
Yeah, the tree scene. Oh, that was good.
That's a classic, too.
That was good.
Which I should never be like, yay, tree molestation, but...
Hey, they did it different.
Sure. I mean, it wasn't as, like, off... It was a little... I mean, I guess.
It's a little more artsy. I don't know how to describe it.
There's very limited ways you can probably discuss this.
Yeah. I thought the tree rape scene was really well done.
Well, in comparison to the first movie.
Yeah, yeah. This is more of, like, a... R&B, you put R&B music, I think. No.
Do not.
You can't put R&B music in, like, Black Consent.
Stop. You're just digging yourself a bigger hole here. No, it was, I think, again, also, iconography.
Mm-hmm.
It also just reminded me of Cabin in the Woods, where one of the things that they could unleash in the Deadpool, mm-hmm. Based on what they pick in the basement, was a molesting tree.
Yes, that's right.
So it was just, I don't know, it was one of those, again, little things that made me really happy.
Which was also released just a year before this one.
Aww.
I know, what an era. What an era for horror. What an era.
Yeah. Good times. And I wasn't even into horror at this point yet.
I had so much to pull from, like, it just, yeah. But yeah, I'm honestly, this is a great movie. Mm-hmm. It really is, like, how you do a remake, and I have a hard time nitpicking, to be honest with you. I really do. Do you got nitpicks?
So, I don't really have anything to nitpick, per se. I really liked it. I think it stayed true to the franchise. I think it stayed true to the spirit of the franchise. I really liked it. It was super fun. The first time I watched it, I need to watch this when I'm like 100% conscious. The first time I watched this, I was tired as hell. It was like, I don't know, one morning.
Yeah.
I was like really tired when I was watching it, but I was like super into it. Mm-hmm. But when I was watching it, the person I was watching it with had seen it and he was like, you need to see this movie. You're gonna love it. Like, I know you, you're gonna love it. And I was like, okay, cool. I'll take your word for it. And I was sitting there, like, I had a blanket around my head and I was like, what the fuck is going on? Because it's so much more gruesome, right?
It is.
Super, super gruesome. And like in a good way. Like if you are into the blood and guts and just like,
in a surprisingly grounded way.
It's grounded gore for sure. I loved it.
Yeah.
And then by the end of it, I was just like, that was way better than I was expecting.
Same here.
And then when I watched it last night, I was just like, I'm really tired, but this is so good.
Yeah, I definitely made a night of it. It was nice.
That's nice, yeah. No, it was fun. I think it's fun. Nitpicky things, I don't think there's anything I could necessarily nitpick on. Maybe, no, because, like, if this is your kind of horror movie, I would say you would be hard-pressed to find something you disliked aside from, like, annoying characters.
And yeah.
Maybe, no, I wouldn't even say it's, like, slow in the beginning.
I wouldn't say it's a slow start, but it maybe has part of a soggy middle. Like, there's part of it where it's not...
It's an extended middle.
Yeah. But it's not, again, when we're talking about remakes and horror and whatever it is, like, relative to everything in its in its genre, it's very specific.
Yeah, no.
Titling, it's great.
It's, in comparison, I feel like, if I'm sitting here thinking actively about things that I didn't like, I can't necessarily say that I disliked it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, even if the acting isn't, like, A+, it fits the tone really well.
Well, you know, this is awesome. This is also really cool, because Jane Levy went on to be in Don't Breathe. In 2015. So this is kind of where she got her, I guess, start with Fede Alvarez, which I think is also cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know. It's just a pleasant movie. I won't say pleasant, but yeah.
It's an enjoyable movie.
Definitely very enjoyable.
The only thing I would say in terms of nitpickiness, if gore is not your thing, this is not your movie, but it's not my thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's heavy on it, but...
It's heavy. It's, That's the only thing I would say. But if you, I would say this is an honest remake.
Yeah, there's passion behind it. You can see in most frames of it, really. Like, mm-hmm. it's good.
So we kind of talked about this earlier, but as a proper reboot, what did you think about this in comparison to previous entries? I think it matches, it fits in with the other titles well.
It fits in while also standing on its own. Mm-hmm. Like, I personally think it is Evil Dead. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely Evil Dead to its core, but it's so distinguished from the other entries that you can watch it solo. You can like it more than anything else, and I'd totally be like, hey, that's your type of movie, that I totally get it.
That is something I actually did really enjoy. You could show Evil Dead 2013 to someone who has never seen any of the original trilogy, and mm-hmm. they wouldn't be lost.
No, they wouldn't be lost. They might even get more out of the OG trilogy, because they kind of see the fundamentals of what built 2013.
Yeah. Well, and that I guess that goes into another sub-question, is mm-hmm. if someone is fresh into horror and you kind of have an inkling of what they like, would you suggest they watch 2013 and then go watch the original trilogy, or start and watch the whole thing through? This is like a Star Wars situation here.
No, if they're new and they can handle gore, like you stated earlier, watch this one. Because it's going to be, I think it's good for newbies. Mm-hmm. I really do. Now, the OG one is timeless in its own way. But I don't know. It's still more of a horror fan's film. Like, you gotta love the cheese. If they love cheese and, like, you know, shit like that, then yeah, the first one for sure.
If they love inanimate objects suddenly becoming sentient and being like, oh.
Right? But,
oh,
like,
God, the cheese from the first one. And the second one, too. It's just...
Well, the second one in particular, I think, really pushed it. But that's another thing, too. It's like, it's so hard to grade people's scale when it comes to B-movie cheesy stuff. You can't really assess that.
I guess it's more of a question of if you are a traditionalist in horror where you don't like humor,
mm-hmm.
watch 2013 and you're gonna get everything you'd get out of Evil Dead in the first one and more.
Mm-hmm.
Versus if you like your slapstick, if you like your comedy, if you like some ridiculous like kind of aspects.
Oh, start with the OG.
Start with the OG, and then you're gonna get. I mean, like I said, I love some humor, which is why Army of Darkness is so fucking good to me.
That's the one that plays it up, yeah.
There's time travel. Like,
even just the skeleton, like...
The skeleton army.
Animatronics. Like, there's something else.
It's so good.
Yeah.
But then you also get the iconic, this is my boomstick line. Like, it's so good.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just a good franchise. But again, for a horror newbie, most newbies, I don't think they can handle the cheese of horror sometimes. I mean...
Which... makes me so sad. Like, I know it's not for everyone. Like, I know horror comedy is just... But the horror comedy is something that I am so grateful to have learned to love.
Yes, that's true, because it wasn't your thing when we first started.
No, when we did Killer Clowns from Outer Space, I was like, I really like this movie. I was not expecting to like it at all.
Yeah.
And now Killer Clowns is also one of my favorite horror comedy B type. Oh. Yeah.
It's A tier. It's so good.
It's A tier in our hearts. In category, yes. It's B.
Oh, it's hard B. Hard B. <Yeah. laughs> stiff B. But yeah. No, I mean, again, like, just, yeah, would you recommend this to somebody starting later? Yeah.
I think, like, I would have to know a little bit more about, like, their preferences.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, especially someone who is, like, yeah, if someone is new to the genre, and has only seen, like, studio horror films, you know, like, the ones that I kind of talk shit about, I would say... Yeah, this is a good one to start with, and then move back to the other ones to, get that idea of where all of the lore kind of came from,
mm-hmm.
Just because the other ones, or because 2013 really, it has that studio feel to it. It looks like a $17 million movie.
I think with that comes accessibility, which is important when you introduce somebody who's not familiar with the genre to like it.
People, I mean, I feel like it's a good gateway movie.
Yes, absolutely. You're like, oh, there's plenty of other movies like this that you're going to love.
Yeah. I mean, it might not look exactly the same. Like, the quality might be a little mm-hmm. but you're going to love it. And, you know, that's the goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Now that Ash Williams has been retired, what do you think about Mia taking up the mantle and the potential of other sequels having her as the main character?
It'll be interesting. I think she doesn't... Ash is Ash. Right. It's really... Like, if you want to do a sequel to Evil Dead,
mm-hmm.
Ash is synonymous with Evil Dead. Mia's only had one movie. So it's kind of hard for me to keep her as synonymous with the series. I think she just needs one more to see what direction they take her. Mm-hmm. And from there on, let her be the lead. But let's see, because this story is just so drastically different than the first ones. So that's why I'm like have a hard time. Like, Ash is iconography.
I'm interested in seeing what they do with Evil Dead Rise.
Yes.
And see, yeah, I agree, to see what direction they take this new, is it going to be a trilogy? Who knows? This mm-hmm. new series of Evil Dead movies, because if they keep this tone, I think that she definitely has big final girl energy.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
And so I'm interested in seeing where that takes the franchise versus mm-hmm. Ash, who definitely... is a final girl in his own right.
Yeah. He's more of a prima donna.
Yeah, a final prima donna.
But yeah, give her one more movie, I think, to distinguish herself, and we'll see what goes from there. Because I have a harder time answering that question, for Evil Dead, need one more. Just needs one more. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, the Ash vs. Evil Dead managed to introduce characters that I think are... up there, and like these are staples of the franchise mm-hmm. now, but they had a whole TV season to fill them out, and then another season, and like there's a lot of hours mm-hmm. dedicated to really fleshing these characters out and a tone that's consistent with it, which this movie unfortunately doesn't have. Again, not a knock on the movie mm-hmm. or the characters really, but you know, give one more. Let's see what else they can do with it, and then I think
get a proper test run.
Yeah, give it one more, a good test run. That's a good way of putting it. Yes, so proper test run.
Okay, noted. So that being said, are you looking forward to Evil Dead Rise?
Yes, absolutely. Especially after seeing it this recent.
I wish we knew more. I wish there was like a release date. I wish like I knew more about what was going to happen. But
mm-hmm.
but yeah, there's much to learn, and I'm excited to follow it. Especially after seeing this for the second time and kind of really cementing that I really, really enjoyed this.
Yes, me too.
And I'm definitely willing to give it a good college try.
Yeah. I mean, if it's the same trajectory as the OGs,
mm-hmm.
two can only be better. Especially with the talent you have on board. Man, I wish Bidet was involved still, though.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
I mean, honestly, she's just doing so much.
Yeah, what is he involved in right now?
I can't remember, but but I know, even you can tell he's kind of the it guy right now. He did Don't Breathe 2.
Been working, I want to say, on maybe a TV show. Am I full of shit on that? I could be full of shit on that. Okay, so he was working on television. He was the director for the From Dusk Till Dawn series.
Oh.
I'm not a fucking... Okay. And then he was also working on the Apple TV original Calls, which is where I was seeing that.
Okay.
And he's producing Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
That's right, he is.
So he's working on shit. It is coming out this year.
Yeah.
It is in post-production now.
Honestly, he's a lot going. I think he's doing his own thing as a filmmaker.
I
fully endorse.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. So, I mean, he's working on stuff. I think I think you could tell based on the interviews that he's done. He definitely liked working on Evil Dead because it established him as a horror director. But I think mm-hmm. now he's a little bit more focused on working on his original projects.
Yeah, that's probably why he made the point about Don't Breathe 2. He's like, oh, shit, that was my baby. But, you know, at the same time, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. But he wants more Don't Breathes. Mm-hmm. That's what he wants.
Yeah, he wants to work on his own stuff, which I get. Mm-hmm. I mean, understandable. So, this is something that was pointed out in one of the reviews that I read. And it's, like, kind of obvious, I guess. But I'm curious in your thoughts. So, many discuss that this movie is an... allegory for a story about addiction.
Yes.
Which obviously Mia is recovering from a heroin addiction.
I would say, how allegorical? It's pretty on the nose.
It's on the nose. Like, yeah. it, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, it's not an allegory, it's the plot.
Yeah.
Under all the guts and gore, would the story, I guess, also be the possession side of things be read as
oh.
a, an allegory for possession.
Yeah, for like addiction. Like, yeah, what addiction does to your brain and kind of how. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, it's on the nose, but it I think it's pretty effective. Mm-hmm. I mean, being a deadite.
Or just, you know, like, your literal inner demons.
Yeah, literal inner demons and then lack of inhibitions. And it is you now. Like, that's what happens to a lot of people. Like, getting that. That's the reason why heroin's fucking hard to quit.
Yeah.
It's really hard to quit. And people aren't themselves after that.
Mm-hmm.
They really aren't. There's something else. And yeah. they're feeding that compulsive need to, that physiological need to keep the high going, essentially. So this, I mean, honestly, possession by a dead, probably pretty similar. I would imagine.
Well, think about it. When you get possessed by a deadite, we see it in this movie explored very well, where you lose the ability to control your body.
Yes.
Where you, like, with the nurse, where she stops, like, she was about to walk out, and she's like, oh, I feel weird, and she stops, and then she loses the ability to control herself, and then she starts carving up her own face.
Yeah, shit like that, though. But, I mean, again, at the same time, people who are really, really strung out, like the kind of stuff they'll put their body through just for another fix, it's horrifying.
Or the thing that I also, one of the things that I enjoy about deadites is they just say the most offensive, awful shit.
Yeah.
Like,
just
to get a rise. Mm-hmm. And that also kind of seemed applicable in this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's like, yeah. So, and I think you see that a lot also with possession movies in general.
Mm-hmm.
From this where, you know, it's just like your sister's getting raped in hell.
Yeah.
Versus all the way back to The Exorcist where, you know, your daughter sucks cocks in hell or whatever. Like.
A lot of shit going down in hell. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of sexual violence in hell. Like, that is the running theme, right? So it's a very interesting thought that actually did not occur to me the entire time because it's the plot of the movie.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, she's recovering from addiction. It just so happens that she happened to be outside and she was the one who got possessed first, which also, can we talk about this for a moment? Cause we're in discussion. There's like this, like, not necessarily gaslighting, but no one believes her because she's in, like, she's coming off of the, or
yeah,
what's the word that I'm looking for?
She's coming down?
Yeah, she's coming down, but anyway, yeah, so it's...
She's having withdrawals.
Thank you, Jesus Christ. So she's in withdrawal, and so she's, like, seeing shit, and no one is believing her. They're just like, oh, this is, you know, you're just being a crazy junkie.
Well, they're trying to help, but I don't think the movie specifies that they're good at it.
No, like, there's this one line, and this is something where I understand a lot of people feel this in their day-to-day lives, and this is my own little side note of just, like, don't be this person.
Yeah.
But there is this note where, or this point where the nurse character says, if we leave now, this all will have been for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
When they're just like, we need to take her to the hospital, and she says, she would be getting the same care at a hospital than I would be giving her now. And if we leave now, this all would have been for nothing. And I feel like, I'm painting with a broad brush here, but in general, a lot of people have that mindset of if you know, they go through something and it's hard and it's annoying, and if they quit partway through it, then all of that heartache has been for naught.
Oh, the sunk cost fallacy.
Thank you.
That's
the sunk cost fallacy. And people do it in relationships. People do it in shitty situations. They do it for all that. And I'm like, just quit. Just leave. Like, just like, it's fine. Just get the fuck out of there. Like, in that moment in particular, I was incensed.
That's human nature right there, though. 100%.
I understand, but like, and that's something that, like, I myself have worked on, just like as a person. But like, that sunk cost fallacy in general, like, it's just like, just quit.
Yeah.
Just fucking quit. It's fine. It's fine. Like, being a quitter, like, acknowledging that it's okay to quit, like, it's just been so freeing for me,
like,
as a person.
Like, at what scale is it worth it? At what scale? Like, to me, it's funny because not to the same scale as helping a friend with addiction, but
sure,
at a much smaller scale, it's like video games. Sometimes I'll play a game, I'm like, why am I doing this fucking side quest? I don't even care. Like, what? I'm not going to get anything out of it, but it's hard, and if there's one little fucking thing on the mat that I didn't quite get, and I know it's going to annoy me if I keep looking at it, I'm like, just stop. You don't need to go there. You don't. How much of your time that you could be using writing your podcast or watching something more profound or
doing
or
a
reading
quest that you'd let you want
yeah,
to do.
Or doing something yeah that you wanted to do, but now you're fixated on this. You're fixated because you already failed this many times doing it.
Yeah.
So little things like that help you let go of that little nagging bug that says just fucking go. It's still gonna be there. Yeah. Video games. It happens.
No, it happens in video games. It happens in, like, you know,
marathoning TV shows. If I'm not into it, I'm like, just stop. Like, you don't need to watch it because everybody else is watching it.
That's remember my Law & Order SVU rewatch?
Yeah.
There got to a point where I was just like, why am I doing this?
Yes. I am an adult, goddammit. I've seen this before.
Well, it's like, I'm an adult. I've seen this before. I'm getting burnt out. And it's just like, I have other shit I could be watching.
Yes.
It got to the point where people were just like asking me like, oh, have you seen this yet? Have you seen this yet? And I was like, no, because I'm going to be watching Law & Order SVU for the next 4 months. And so I was just like, fuck it, whatever. I'll take a break. And that break just turned into me stopping, which is fine.
Which is fine. It's totally fine.
It happens with, you know, content we watch. It happens in relationships. It happens in all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And that particular line where she just refused to just like be like, no, we can stop at any point. Like, she had her head so far in the sand where she was just like, no, we're going to fucking commit.
That's ego for you right there.
And that's why her character drove me nuts. Anyway.
That's why I want to see him die.
Anyway, let's go ahead and start wrapping up. I have a fun little question here. So,
all right.
I mean, we can talk about the practical effects if we'd like, but the fun question of this is, you have 70,000 gallons of fake blood. What are you doing with it?
Oh, I'm doing a pop-up for just 1 week only, water slide.
Fuck, you stole mine.
Yeah, we're not mom. We're doing like big time.
You stole it.
I said
like the biggest slip and slide you could imagine.
Yeah, yeah. No, I want to do it like on like a building or something. You remember that one slide they have on one of the buildings on top of downtown? Just do that with blood.
Okay.
Like, that with blood.
Okay.
Yeah. And like some Class Action Park shit though. It's gonna be rickety.
Like, you're gonna get sued later.
Yeah, where are those cuts, those were there before. Like, yeah, I want to see the actual percentage of real blood and fake blood mixed in the compound afterwards.
That's
to see.
Disgusting.
Just to know.
Yeah, so that was mine.
Okay, I have a second one.
What's your second one?
Okay, also, we do a Civil War reenactment, right? But all the guns and muskets are replaced with those water soakers. And you put the blood in there.
You just put the blood in the super soakers. You know what? A super soaker, like, water gun fight
with blood
does sound really fucking funny.
That would be so good. Put him in, like, an old, like you know, actually go to Gettysburg.
Yeah.
Like, really do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like it'll insult the memory of anyone.
Oh, it's fine. It's fine.
It'll be fine. They're, you know, it's not, like, the most deeply haunted place in America. It's fine.
Well,
nice. Well, I'm glad we're in consensus.
Yeah, yeah. Water slide.
One weekend only water slide event.
Because I feel like 70,000 gallons of blood, I'm not going to stretch it for the year.
No.
Yeah, that's good for a week or a month. We'll see how long it goes. Yeah.
I would say I would buy or like go to like, I don't know, what's a really big, Trevi Fountain.
What's Trevi Fountain?
It's like the most like famous fountain in like Rome.
Oh, cool.
It's in Italy.
Yeah.
But, just, like, replace all of that with blood and just watch people just, like, freak out.
People are just fucking, like, doing the sign of the cross, right?
Exactly. Like, I'm just going to one of the most Catholic countries ever and just fucking their shit.
Oh, that's good. That's
good.
Yeah.
So, I think that, like, using it for a really funny, practical joke, and that would undoubtedly get me arrested. Just, mwah, mwah, mwah. I'm assuming this fake blood is not going to, like, harm anything.
Yes.
Or anyone. But yes. Using it for a really funny, practical joke.
Oh, I got one more.
Okay.
Various beaches across Southern California. You get, like, one of those little, the kind of submerged floaty shark fin things and put a little timer on it. So when it goes, and then just have the blood from the bottom and just go around the fin and have everybody like, holy shit, and just see him rush out of the water. That'd be great.
Oh, no, because then it'll turn into Jaws and someone's going to get trampled to death.
I mean, okay, that's fine. Yeah, you got me on that. It would be fun for a couple, though.
It would be
fun. See how they play out.
Okay, assuming no one dies.
Yes.
That would be really funny.
You do it at, like, the beaches with, like, the most ritzy-ass motherfuckers first, because they'll be fine. They got the insurance to back
it up.
They
have insurance. They'll be fine.
Yeah, they'd be good. And then gradually, as you know, bring it to the pores as it goes along.
No.
Yeah, what?
Okay, fine. Okay, so now we know what we would do with 70,000 gallons of fake blood, and that, the answer is chaos.
Yes. Yeah.
Killer of the film, if you have one.
Oh, when the guy took out the girl in the red shirt and she was the dead eye. He was smashing her head in.
Oh.
Yeah, I was like, and I like it. He was coming up. It was the dude came up and was like, "What happened?" He's just like, "Don't you fucking went after me!" Like, I swear I didn't just organically smash this girl's fucking head in because I was mad or anything. Yeah. Like, look at me. I just thought the parlay between them in the situation was like really kind of funny.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. And a good old head bashing. Just when you do it right, it looks good.
Good like face injuries and head bashings. Yeah, when they're done well, like really. Buck with someone because it's your face. You're protective over your face. Yeah, for me it's the electric knife incident with the girlfriend. Where,
oh yeah,
that was brutal. So that's mine.
Lots of brutality.
This is a lot of good kills. An honorable mention to the girl in the beginning who gets set on fire.
Yes,
that was a good one. And then she gets her head shot off with a shotgun.
And the misdirection, too, because you think she's a victim initially. And then the dad comes in and is just like, sorry, bitch.
Sorry, my daughter. So, yeah, that was a good one. Okay, let's wrap this up. Rate this movie out of 5 electric knives.
Man.
Tell I was stuck on the electric knife thing.
Yeah, a little bit.
It fucked me up.
I mean, worthy kill the film, honestly.
Okay, fine. 5 Books of the Dead, whatever you want it to be.
I don't know, dude. Like, I want to give it a 5, but at the same time, I don't know if it's actually a 5 movie.
I think it's just a very enjoyable... It's so good. For me, it is a very enjoyable 4 movie.
It really is. Like, it's not brilliant. I mean, kind of brilliant in some spots, though. It's hard to
say. I'm not going
to
say it's like... Because, like, I reserve my 5s for something that is, like, truly groundbreaking and, like, really, rocks my shit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'll give it a 4.25.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's definitely more than a 4, I think. Because it's just so good.
No, I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Like, it was fun. But also, I'm always a stingy fucking writer.
Yeah,
so.
I can't give it a flaw, but I can't give it a 5 either.
Yeah. And I was thinking about that when you were just like, well, is there anything you could be nitpicky about? And I'm like, there's nothing I can really say against it, but also I'm not going to give it a 5. Yeah, like, it was good.
It's
but
not Hereditary, though. Like, you know?
I mean, I think that's the issue when you get to something that's like kind of like schlocky. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say it's like schlock, but it's Evil Dead.
It's Evil Dead, and it's just a really solid fucking, just an amazing Evil Dead. 4.25.
Okay.
Just under 4.5.
I'll give it my 4.
Okay, there
I'll
you go.
I'll stick with my
4.
It is a 4 with honors.
A 4 with honors. I love it. Oh, that's great. Okay. Yeah, I like that
so
categorization.
I'll stick with that.
Yeah. Solid movie. Honestly, you guys, we didn't do the plot. It's just Evil Dead. Just watch it. Just watch it. It's so good.
Yeah. I wanted to shake things up and not do a play-by-play for once.
Yes. And honestly, play-by-play would just be doing Evil Dead 1 again.
It's true.
With an addiction angle.
Yeah. So if you liked this movie... Go watch it. Check it out. It's playing on Stars right now.
Yes.
And yeah, that was Evil Dead from 2013, directed by Fede Alvarez.
Yes.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. This was... we're not wrapping up November, but...
Is Thanksgiving next week?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks... Well, real quick before we get into next week, whatever it is, 150 episodes. Thanks, everybody, for...
Yeah.
150. I wish we actually probably should have done this later on in the day with our usual thing, but you know what?
It's fine. I mean,
it's
this is still fun.
No, still,
it's
I agree.
Still enjoyable.
I agree. And again,
we had our quips.
It's not as big a celebration as, of course, the profound 149th episode, which was
the real milestone.
But you know what? I'll take 150 as well. You guys stuck with us for a long time. It's a lot of content, a lot of hours. And happy to keep doing it.
I'm very surprised. Well, not surprised, but I'm very glad that we're, you know, at 150.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
We made it to 150. That's fucking insane.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to just actually take in what an actual accomplishment that is. But
well, considering that a lot of podcasts start and fail. Mm-hmm. And we've just, you know. And I can't imagine not doing it at this point. Yeah. I know I always say that, but it's always something that I just imagine us not. I can't imagine us not doing.
It's default.
So,
it's default at this point.
This is part of my routine.
Yeah. And then honestly, also, every fan that sends us DM and comments on our stuff and does all, and people who discover it and feel the need to reach out, like, thank all of you guys.
Yeah,
that makes our day.
You guys are the coolest.
Yes. When you get excited about a movie and we put up, like, the preview and I see people, like, you know, like,
hyped, yeah.
I'm just like, oh, that's how we do it. That's how we do it right there. And then when we have to shit on the movie they love, I'm like,
sorry.
That's also why we do it.
It's also why we do it.
You know, it's a little bit of an abusive relationship there, but you know what? We got to be honest.
It's fine. So for your Thanksgiving travels next week, we have a wonderful selection. Anthony, would you like to hint at it?
It's a sequel to something we've done, and it has one of the most crazy scenes
ever.
Opening.
The one that gives people fears of driving far and wide.
Yeah, it's brutal. So. The rest of the movie's okay. But you know what? We'll talk about it, of course, when we talk about it. But it's a sequel to a franchise we did last year. Maybe we'll make this an annual one. We'll see.
Quick heads up. We're taking 2 weeks off for December.
That's right.
Just a heads up. That's not for another, you know, like month. Yeah. But just wanted to give everyone a heads up for that. That we're taking a little winter break. So more on that later. But I'm just looking at our posting schedule. So I just wanted to put that on your radar.
But as always, we'll be back with our annual January day one fucking release. And it's always going to be a banger. So
it'll be fun. So that was it for this week. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. If you like what you heard, please subscribe wherever you're listening. You can also write us a review if you're listening on iTunes. That does help other people find the podcast, and it does boost our ratings, and it helps tremendously. You guys are the fucking best for doing it. And we also, if you feel like we deserve a couple dollars for what we do have a Patreon now. You can subscribe at patreon.com/horrorpeoplepod. We have tiers as low as $5 a month. So if you hate peppermint mochas as much as Anthony, you can pass on that for one of them a month and help us do what we do. So that would be super, super helpful if you feel so inclined. And if you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest on all of our podcast shenanigans, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Horror People Pod, and we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORRORBLE People's Podcast. And if you want to follow Anthony, he is on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler.
Yeah.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. So that's what we're up to. You can follow us there, and it's always a good time no matter what we're up to. Until next time, if you find a creepy book that's covered in a garbage bag and covered in barbed wire, don't read the contents out loud.
Yeah.
Ever.
And you know what? It's okay to quit sometimes. It's okay to quit.
Just quit. It's fine.
The towel's there to be thrown.
The towel is there to be thrown. And honestly, I respect people so much more for knowing when to quit than just digging their heels in when they should have just given up.
Oh, good old Reddit comment section. There you go.
All right. Bye, guys.
See ya.